Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
Kishani scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Welcome into another edition, another exciting edition of Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning, and we've got a lot to get to. The Panthers wrapping up a road trip here tonight in Tampa. That's where I am right now doing today's Panthers Insider show. Panthers and the Lightning at 5 o'clock. That's when we're dropping the puck at Amalie Arena as the Panthers round out a road trip that'll have seen them play three games in four nights. The Panthers are looking to make it five straight victories if they can get it done this evening as well, coming off that win in Buffalo a couple of nights ago by a 4-0 score. So the Panthers and the Lightning, the cross-state rivalry renewed, the second of three total matchups this season for the Panthers and the Lightning. And again, today, we're dropping the puck at 5, 4:30 Panthers preview. If you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward counties, AM 790 WAXY, your place to tune in. If you want to find us and you're not sure where, or you're just driving around and you want to just get the Panthers app, it's got a radio button top right corner. Hit that. You're going to get our broadcast every single time. Takes all the guesswork out of it. So that's one way to listen. If you're in the Palm Beaches, 1230 The Gambler, of course, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. If you're in the Treasure Coast region, Real Radio 1017. Lots of different places to catch the Panthers and the Lightning coming your way today at 5. 4:30 Panthers preview. So lots to get to here on this edition of Panthers Insider. Mentioned the Panthers are on a good little run lately. We're going to relive the last three victories. We'll have highlights. We'll have post-game reaction from Thursday's win in Buffalo. We'll hear from Paul Maurice, Anthony Stolarz, Ryan Lomberg, Carter Verhaeghe coming up in just a few moments. Next segment, we've got a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. Jameson Olive and I had a chance to sit down with Panthers all-star goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. We'll hear from him coming up in segment number two. Segment three, Dave Mishkin, longtime radio voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's going to stop by. We'll talk about today's matchup, what it means for each of the two teams. Mentioned the Panthers playing really well. Tampa Bay's playing really well going into the game tonight. They've won three straight games. They come in having won seven of their last 10, and they are charging up the standings in the Eastern Conference as well. Before we get into discussing the last few victories here for the Panthers, have to mention the standings. How about this? Because the Panthers, they've gotten up to a tie with the Boston Bruins as far as points go, atop the Eastern Conference, atop the Atlantic Division. However, they both played 54 games by virtue of the tiebreaker. The Panthers technically have the best record right now. They would get the tiebreaker edge over Boston. Now, both teams do still have 28 games left, so I'm really just looking at the points right now. But the Panthers, long and short of it, they've positioned themselves in a great spot, and they've positioned themselves in a spot to potentially try and get that overall top seed in the Eastern Conference. And the Panthers, again, they've won four straight games, and they have charged up to the top of the Atlantic and Eastern Conference standings. So, again, something to watch there. The Panthers will play Tampa Bay. That's a big matchup within the Atlantic coming up today. And, of course, at 12:30, the Boston Bruins will host the LA Kings. And so by the time the Panthers game starts here in Tampa, we'll know the outcome of that Boston-LA game, and we'll see what's at stake. We'll see if the Panthers are going to need a win to try and keep pace with Boston if they beat LA. We'll see if the Panthers need a win to potentially get sole possession of that top spot in the East and in the Atlantic Division. So again, lots to keep an eye on. Busy Saturday across the league. We'll talk a little bit about what's coming up later on as well across the National Hockey League. Lots to get to. Mention the Panthers app. The Panthers app, the brand new home for all things Panthers hockey. Download the Panthers app today at floridapanthers.com and stay up to date on all the latest news, videos, stats, scores, sales, foundation updates, and so much more. And like I said, there's even a radio button top right corner. Hit that. You'll get our broadcast each and every game Before we get into talking about the week that was, quick look at the week ahead for the Panthers, just so you can mark it down on your calendar, put it in your Palm Pilot, write it on your hand, although I highly discourage that sort of thing. But again, lots of different ways to keep track of things, keep your life organized. The Panthers are going to be back home coming up on Tuesday night when they play host to the Ottawa Senators, 7 o'clock. Face-off coming up on Tuesday at Amerant Bank Arena. And the Panthers will actually play four of their next five on home ice beginning Tuesday. So lots of chances to see this Panthers team live and in person. Tuesday at 7, the Panthers are home against Ottawa. And then Thursday at 7, the Panthers will head to Carolina for a one-game road trip. They'll take on the Hurricanes, rematch of the Eastern Conference Final from last year. And then a week from today, Panthers back home against Washington at 6. On the 27th, they're home against Buffalo at 7. On the 29th, it's a leap year. On February 29th, the Panthers are home against the Montreal Canadiens at 7 o'clock. So that's how the schedule lines up for the Panthers. Looking ahead, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Let's dive right into the week that was for the Panthers since the last time we spoke to you here on Panthers Insider. As I mentioned, the Panthers have done nothing but win. Going back to last week on Saturday, it was February 10th, the Panthers had a heavyweight matchup against Colorado Avalanche. It was one of the best top-to-bottom games the Panthers have played all year, a 4-0 win over Colorado. Here's how it sounded on the Panthers radio network.
High up over in the corner, the Avalanche come up with control, but Cogliano can't clear. It's played across Montour, Verhaeghe back over to Montour, off to the far side, Barkov. Down low, Tkachuk through the far circle, Barkov to the dot, out in front, damn it, they score! Carter Verhaeghe in the blue paint, able to jam it home, and the Panthers have a power play goal and a 1-0 lead. Barkov in the trapezoid, he'll look off to the far side of this, Tkachuk in front, a shot, and they score! A power play goal upstairs from Sam Reinhart off the crossbar and in. Sam Reinhart stays red hot. The Panthers take a 2-0 lead, and Sam Reinhart has 39 goals this season.
How pretty is this power play to watch?
As Ekman, Larson far side, Rodriguez a shot wide, rims around out to the near point, Kulikov. Long drive, tipped on net, same in, rebound, they score it to the Worcester Arena. Give the Panthers a 3-0 lead. Kulikov let it rip from the line. Georgiev made the save, but that's a Worcester Arena and wasted no time. And he jams it home to give the Panthers the 3-0 lead.
Panthers are just outworking the Colorado Avalanche in every conceivable way.
Turnover out front, a shot, they scored. It's Barkov off the turnover, and the Panthers take a 4-0 lead over the Avalanche with 10:40 to go here in the third. The Panthers make them pay after the turnover.
That has got to feel good for Barkov.
The final seconds tick away, and the Panthers make it back-to-back wins on home ice. A 4-0 shutout tonight for the Panthers over the Colorado Avalanche. For Sergei Bobrovsky, 41 shutouts in the National Hockey League. For Paul Maurice, that's career win number 850 behind an NHL bench as he moves into sole possession of fifth on the all-time NHL coaching wins list. Big games across the board for the Panthers tonight. That was a complete team win. The full 60 minutes for the Panthers tonight as they top the Avalanche 4-0.
So some milestones there. Congratulations to Paul Maurice for moving into fifth on the NHL's all-time coaching wins list. Sergei Bobrovsky, a shutout. Not the only Panthers goalie who'd have a shutout this week. Little tease there. But it was on Wednesday the Panthers would begin this road trip. They went to Pittsburgh, and they came out on top in that one, too. Here are the highlights from the Panthers' sweep of the three-game season series against Pittsburgh this season.
Crosby to the line. Letang tried to snap a pass across. Pinballing puck out front. Picked up out front of the goal. Whacked out a couple of times. Crosby tried to feed it out front, and they never got a clean shot to the Penguins there. Back to 5-on-5 hockey. Panthers work it in. Rodriguez looks across. Shot, they score! And the Panthers come right back and take a 1-0 lead. Matthew Tkachuk out in front. Set up by Rodriguez. Fresh off serving the penalty. And the Panthers strike first with 15:32 to go here in the second. To the corner, Lomberg. Wrapped up there by Ludvig. Now over on the far side, it's Stenlin out to the line. Montour, a shot tipped out front, they score! And out in front of the Pittsburgh net, it was Jonah Gadjevich who got a stick on that. The Panthers, just like that, are up a pair. Over on the far side of the ice, scramble for the loose puck. Bennett, Rodriguez looking out front. A chance, Tkachuk, right circle. Ekblad cruising in. Shot, he scores. Aaron Ekblad. A laser beam of a wrist shot out of the right circle. And he beats Jari under the arm. And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead. A power play goal for Aaron Ekblad. He sends it along for Carter, who can't field that one. Nick Cousins looks to play it back down low, knocked away by Carter. Up the near side, it's Jeff Carter for Pittsburgh. He tried to feed a pass to Malkin, broken up by Cousins. Springs it along quickly for Tkachuk. Tkachuk, top of the right circle, up front, and they score! And the Panthers tack on another one. It's Anton Lundell, able to cash in on a backdoor feed from Tkachuk, and the Panthers take a 4-0 lead. Here's Carlson, near side Crosby. Pass across, takes a bounce, and in the way there, Etzel Ostrina just wreaking havoc in the offensive end on the forecheck. Here's a setup to Lundell in the near circle, a shot deflecting high in the air, and they score! That puck went way up in the air. Chari lost track of it, the Penguins lost track of it, and it dropped down behind Chari and into the net, and Anton Lundell has his second of the game. As Barkov poked it away from Puljujärvi, and the final seconds tick away, and the Panthers start off the road trip with a 5-2 win here tonight over the Pittsburgh Penguins. For the Panthers, they have now won 3 consecutive games, and the Panthers stay red hot on the road.
And the Panthers would go to Buffalo the next night. The Panthers have been pretty successful in back-to-backs this season. Haven't had a ton of back-to-backs, but they've been pretty good when they've been in that situation. So it was off to Buffalo, and the Panthers seeing the Sabres, an Atlantic Division foe, for the first time this season. Hard to believe, inside 30 games to play in the regular season, seeing the Sabres for the first time, and the Panthers would take care of business back on Thursday.
Johnson takes a look ahead. Barkov in there against him immediately. The takeaway, Barkov out front, a shot, they score! And it's Carter Verhaeghe, a perfect setup from Barkov, and the Panthers strike first. It's 1-0 with 10:34 to go here in the opening frame. Barkov stripped it away down there in the corner, fed it right out front. Carter Verhaeghe wasting no time, and the Panthers get the first one tonight. As now a delayed penalty situation, Forsling far circle. Up top, Tkachuk, long shot, and they score! It was launched to the net by Tkachuk from out at the left point. May have hit something on the way. The Panthers score in the delayed penalty situation. And it's 2-0 Panthers with 2:44 to go here in the second. Backhand out along the far side. Trickle pass Dahlin. And the Panthers have it. It's Reinhardt heading in. Reinhardt looks across for Verhaeghe. A shot on the empty net. He scores. And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead with 93 seconds to play in regulation time. Carter Verhaeghe's second of the game on the empty net. That's 28 on the year for him. And he was set up by Sam Reinhardt. And the Panthers stretch their lead to 3-0. So Lundell leans in against Cousins. Puck pulled back to the near point. Forsling, he's got it. Near point, long shot. Tipped in front. Lomberg, and he scores. Ryan Lomberg, a power play goal. And the Panthers stretch their lead to 4-0 with 10.2 seconds to go. So off the faceoff, here's Ekman-Larsson. Forsling, he'll float one along. It's tipped down to our left. And the final seconds will tick away here in Buffalo. The Panthers top the Sabres 4-0. A 45-save shutout for Anthony Stolarz in the Panthers' net. The Panthers have won 4 games in a row, and they have now won 10 consecutive road contests. Anthony Stolarz's first shutout as a Panther, and for Stolarz, the 7th shutout in his NHL career.
Anthony Stolarz outstanding back on Thursday, and the Panthers keep it rolling on the road. That's 10 straight wins away from home for the Panthers, and that's why a big reason why they've been able to elevate their record up to 35-15-4 on the season, and well, for now, up to that top spot in the Atlantic and the East. Here's Paul Maurice, Panthers head coach, postgame Thursday on what Anthony Stolarz meant to that victory in Buffalo.
Oh, he was so good in the key piece to it and the win. I think we spent an awful lot last night. That was a hard, really fast game, and to come in, they got a real, I would say, dangerous offensive group. They're hard to pattern. They're hard to kind of figure where they're going with the puck. We didn't have the legs that we would normally have in this game, and our goaltender was asked to do something that you need if you're going to get on any kind of run on a roll. You're He's been solid and so good for us. But tonight it's nice. We play well in front of our goaltending all year, so sometimes you don't notice how well they've played for us. Tonight you did.
So Paul Maurice there talking about Anthony Stolarz. Here is Anthony Stolarz on what it meant to get that win in Buffalo back on Thursday.
It's huge. Obviously, we have a game yesterday, travel day, and get in late. So you look at the back-to-back, you want to go out there and you want to put out a strong performance. I take a lot of pride in that. Obviously, know my role on the team. And anytime you can go out there and put up a pretty good performance like that, it's good. And you can definitely see the guys are working hard for me. And I try to do that in return for them.
And Ryan Lomberg here with more high praise for his goaltender. Here he is talking about Anthony Stolarz getting that shutout.
Yeah, he made a few, huge saves that probably had a better chance of going in, than stopping it. And he did a great job. He's been doing it all year for us. He comes in when his number's called and he shuts the door. And like I said, he made some huge timely saves. And we ended up getting the win because of it.
Ryan Lomberg there, and last but certainly not least, man who had two goals back in Thursday's win. Here's Carter Verhaeghe of the Panthers. Why are the Panthers so good in these back-to-back situations?
I think it's a lot to do with being simple and playing simple. I think that's kind of when our team's at its best, and we're not trying to force plays. We're kind of just trying to, the mentality's kind of to grind it out and try and give ourselves a chance, and I think that's kind of when we're comfortable in games.
Carter Verhaeghe right there. So that was after the game on Thursday. Shifting gears now, Panthers and the Lightning today, 5 o'clock face-off, 4:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. Come out to Pucks and Pints Beer Fest presented by Funky Buddha Brewery. That's going to be Saturday, February 24th at Amerant Bank Arena. Sample unlimited beer, listen to live music, watch the Cats defend home ice against Washington at 6 o'clock. Portion of the proceeds benefits the Panthers Foundation. Must be 21 or older to enter. Go to floridapanthers.com for tickets today. Just getting started here on Panthers Inside. Coming up later on, we'll talk about today's matchup. Longtime Lightning broadcaster Dave Mishkin will be stopping by. But coming up next, a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast as Jameson Olive and I had a chance to sit down with Panthers goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. Doug Plagans here with you this morning on Panthers Insider. Dan Day on the other side of the glass doing fine work as always. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Sergei Bobrovsky next. This is Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans here with you, calling all college students. Score your Panthers student rush tickets. Students, come party with your Panthers this season. Enjoy student-exclusive pricing for select games. Go to floridapanthers.com/rush for game dates and more info. Panthers and the Lightning today at 4:30, we're on the air with Panthers Preview. You can find us if you're listening to Miami-Dade and Broward County's AM 790. The Panthers app always makes it so easy to listen. And after this road trip's over with, Panthers begin a string of 4 of 5 on home ice when they host the Ottawa Senators Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Panthers also playing at home a week from today against Washington. So go to FloridaPanthers.com. All the info for the schedule, the tickets, it's all right there. Go check it out. Coming up next segment, Dave Mishkin, longtime radio voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, going to stop by and we'll talk about today's matchup, what it means for each of the two teams. But first, let's hear a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. Jameson Olive and I had a chance to sit down with Panthers All-Star goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. Let's dive right into that conversation.
First thing I got to ask you, the All-Star experience still pretty fresh. What was it like up there in Toronto?
Yeah, it was definitely great to be part of it. It was busy, but it was really cool. I was able to bring my family there. We were enjoyed together, just to be around those superstar hockey players, not only present but also in the past. It's special, it's great. It was great too to share that experience with Sam.
And you talk about it being a family experience. Last time you went 2017, obviously you weren't a dad then. How different was it this time around being a family experience, a family event?
Yeah, it's definitely different. So as I always say that when you become a dad, it completely changes your life. You know, you change your priorities and everything, whole perspective. So and it was cool. I think she's still small, but it was I think for me, it's a lot better, a lot more fun to have her there than for her, you know.
And for you, was there anybody that you were really looking forward to seeing? Was it just fun to be around a lot of the guys that you play against every single night, but you get to kind of all be a part of the same experience?
Yeah, nah, I would say, you know, there is like, it's obviously the league, NHL league is so good. And there is like other those, how many, 30 guys or so, you can easily pick 20 more guys and they're going to be the same level or almost the same level. So it was just cool to see them interact with the guys, get to know them, get to know their personality. They are all like, as you know, they're superstar on the ice, but they're great people off the ice.
And on that, going back to, like I said, 2017, only 7 all-stars that were in that game, including yourself, were in this one. So a ton of new guys. What was it like for yourself just being a veteran goaltender, seeing kind of the new generation and being around those guys?
Yeah, it's definitely special. It was a special moment for me too, like to be around those goalies who's like superstar in this generation, you know, and be with them, look at them too, and get to know them. So as I say, they're really nice guys, and they're really good goalies and good players.
And on that, just from a goaltender's perspective, what do you notice about the young goaltenders coming up? It seems like every year a new star goaltender arises. Just whether it's their approach to the game, the technical side, just what do you think is maybe different about these guys coming up now from when you came up?
I think they definitely go deeper into their body. You know, the game changed. The game changed also. The game force goal is to be better. The force goal is to find the potential, to find the ways to be better. You know, the hockey goes to direction, more goals. You know, everybody likes to see more offense, and they promote forwards. You know, it's all about offense. And on the goalie side, you just have to go deeper into your body and look for some potential in there to get the angle away, to get the position to move faster, to be more athletic.
And for you, kind of going off of that, but you can tell you're a real student of the game. You're a guy that's always evolving. You're always working your preparation, everything like that. As the position changes and as the game evolves, what are the biggest things that you do to keep evolving your own game?
Yeah, it's I love what I'm doing, you know, and it's I wouldn't say it's my job. It's just my passion, you know. Hockey is my passion, and it's also tough to say. You know the perspective. You know where you want to be. You know the goal. What do you want to achieve? You know, it's in the end of the day, you want to win the Stanley Cup. You know, you want to win not only the Stanley Cup, but every game you play, you participate. And that's process. You focus on one day at a time, one moment at a time, and try to polish one thing at a time. And that process brings you to the next thing, you know. And you build and you enjoy what you build. So and that's the key. So that's my life.
And it's obviously your position's the most unique position on the ice. How much are you watching, whether it's other games, watching the way other guys are playing, what other goaltenders maybe mechanically are doing? Are you paying attention to what some of the other guys are doing?
No, not really. I feel like all the goalies has their own unique way how they look at the game. You know, they got their own perspective. And I feel like the more I'm with my gut inside, that's the better. Like I'm trying to look more ways inside of me, not looking for the outside. Obviously there is like you look the game, you play against somebody, something maybe pop up in your eyes, but I wouldn't say I'm searching for that, you know. It's more like on the side, and I'm more I'm focused on my process.
Can you talk about the process and kind of looking internally, going back to the playoffs last year? There was 3 months where you were the best goaltender on the planet, it looked like. What did you learn about yourself during that time? It just seemed like you just found a whole gear maybe we haven't seen before.
Yeah, well, thank you for compliment, first of all.
There's a lot of people that would agree with me on that one.
But, you know, like, it's always, you always I don't like to talk about myself in a game sport, you know, like in a team sport. I'm sorry. It's all about team. You know, if you like, you go on the game, like the All-Star game, right? You see the players, how much talent they have, how much skills they have. And if you give them time and space, they're going to score on any goalie. You know, they're going to beat any goalie. Doesn't matter how athletic you are. So it comes down to how well team in front of you battles and fight. You know, the guys, how they play defensively, how hard they play. It's most of the time the people don't see that from the stands, but it's amazing how like those split seconds, how they, if they take them away or give them, it makes a huge difference. And so it wasn't me, it was us. I'm not gonna tire it to say that it was us, it was whole team. And it was fun experience, definitely, you know. And it's more talking about your question, what it gave it to me, I would say it's gave us the trust in each other and believe in each other that we're capable to overcome anything that is arise there.
And I know everyone loved watching that run and just picked up right where you guys left off, and this has been a great season as well, making that playoff push now. But as you talk about the team on the ice and how you guys execute and how close you are, how much of that also is part of how you guys are off the ice? Because it's such a tight room in there. You've seen a lot of rooms over your career, but it seems like starting maybe last year, maybe a little bit the year before, you guys have really developed something special in that room in terms of just being together, chemistry and cohesiveness.
Yeah, it's as you said, we have a great atmosphere. We play for each other. We care about each other, you know, and it's everybody has their own role and they're happy with that role, you know. And that's probably the biggest thing for us, that everybody pull the rope same direction, nobody complains, everybody happy and love each other, and that brings that good positive energy into the practices, into the off the practices, and carries on into the game as well.
I had a question about the just a key element of the game. You guys as a team have had a really solid penalty kill unit this season, and obviously that takes everybody, and goaltending a huge part of penalty killing. When the game goes from 5-on-5 to when you guys are down a man, do you approach anything differently? Is there anything differently you have to process, or do you kind of just continue to go about playing your position the same way? What changes when the team's down a man?
Generally, I try to cut off everything that the penalty kill or overtime or like it's a preseason or season or playoffs, you know, all those things that around the moment, I try to cut them off. It's important for me to stay in the moment, and doesn't matter what score on the clock, you know, like we down two goals or up two goals. It's just I try to cut everything off and just focus on one moment and what's there. And then you carry this moment, then focus on the next moment, then focus on the next moment. You're just trying to stay focused and see what's coming. And that's when it's a penalty kill, the game, those moments are built one on top of each other, and then in the end of the day you come out of the game and you're happy, you fulfill with the emotion and that energy that you compete with your teammates. And if you had a great night, you enjoy it together with the teammates. If it wasn't our night, we support each other and hit each other on the shoulder, and hey, let's be better, and we're gonna be better next night.
And you talk about focus, and I don't really know how you can maybe put this into words, but you always look so laser focused out there. We see it off the ice as well, just when you get in your process and your routine. But how would you maybe describe what's going through your head during a game and that focus? I mean, are you looking ahead to maybe where the play is going to go, or is it almost like a blank kind of trance? Like, where is your head at during games?
Well, I would say the foundation for me to go into the game and focus to it's appreciation. It's appreciation to be here, to have that jersey on, you know, to be an NHL goalie. You know that there is 20,000 people watching you live, you know, it's a treatment, you know, it's a dream comes true. And I'm trying to always remind myself that this is the moment, this is the life, and you have to savor each moment while I'm here, whether it's a game, whether it's a practice, whether it's an off day, you know, like that's the hockey, the NHL life. it's such incredible life, and I want to remind myself always that this is it. This is what I'm dreamed for.
And we know how happy we are to have you here and how much the fans love watching you. But I got one last one, kind of a fun one. We're not going to go deep into your process and all the work you put in and all the drills and things. But one thing I know Doug and I both see this all the time is whether we're on the road, whether we're at the rink, around the gym, you spend a lot of time on the treadmill. We see that a lot in terms of your work. How much, or should I say, how many miles do you think you put in on the treadmill in a given week? Because it seems like you put a lot of time in there.
Yeah, I would say it's not only treadmill, it's the bike, it's the cardio overall. Mm-hmm. I like cardio. I do cardio a lot. It's also one of the basics of my my shape, and it's very fundamental for me. So it's just the cardio, because I'm always kind of in a stance, in a low mm-hmm. stance. So running, when you're on a treadmill running, it does opposite for your body, you know, mm-hmm. you try to open your body up and open your hips up, and that's why. So I don't really trying to catch up some certain amount of minutes or anything like that. It's more by the feelings, you know, like I need it. The running is good for warm up. The running is good for cool down. It's a good good workout overall. So, and it's just by the feelings. I would say I do everything now at this age. I do everything by the feelings.
And last thing for me, I'm just curious, who was your favorite goalie to watch as a kid?
It's actually a good question. We didn't have much social media back in the days. There wasn't the internet or anything like that. I had the great opportunity to watch our local goalie, my hometown team. His name, Vadim Tarasov. So his son plays now in Columbus. Mm-hmm. So, and I was able to watch him. He was really a skill goalie. He had a great technique, you know, and he was one of the best in Russia for sure. And I was able to watch him practicing. I was able to watch him playing games and stuff. So I would say that was my idol. Obviously, I knew who the like top guys like Brodeur, Patrick Roy, you know, but I didn't have any chance to watch them. Not only live, but even on the TV or in a record on a tape. So I would say, yes, Vadim Tarasov has impact and inspiration on myself when growing up.
Was Vadim big tall guy too, because Daniil's pretty tall, isn't he?
He's a little bit shorter, but he was also good size, good yep. goalie size. Yes, he played the technique style and got lots of like beautiful glove saves and, you know, flexible stretches and that stuff. So it was effective.
And I'm sure his son grew up watching you in the NHL, which is fun full circle.
It could be. I don't know. It's probably better to ask him. But it's an interesting story.
Is it fun to hear that when you have, you know, some of the younger goalies that, you know, they enjoyed watching you and they modeled their game after, you know, watching Sergei Bobrovsky?
Well, I think, yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. You just like that's how it goes. It's the evolution, you know. It's just, for me, it's great to be in that spot. That's like, if we go down a couple questions early about the appreciation, so that's why I appreciate that spot, to be that. Because I remember when I watching those, like, I had a dream to see like Khabibulin or Nabokov, mm-hmm. you know, watch them live. Mm-hmm. It was my dream. And if I can touch their gear, I would be the happiest kid in the world. So, and yeah, it's definitely nice, and it's a great, and I appreciate for that opportunity.
Great conversation there with Panthers goalie Sergei Bobrovsky on this week's edition of the Territory Talk podcast. Go check it out, floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. Panthers and the Lightning coming your way today at 5 o'clock, 4:30, Panthers preview. Joining us next segment, longtime Lightning radio voice Dave Mishkin is going to stop by. We'll preview the matchup, talk about how it impacts each team. They're both coming in on win streaks. Big game tonight. Dave Mishkin coming up on the other side of the break. Doug Plagans here with you. It's Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey as always on a Saturday morning. Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning today. day, 5 o'clock. We're dropping the puck at Amalie Arena in Tampa. 4:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. Both teams coming in on win streaks to this evening's contest. So a lot on the line, always a lot on the line, and always fun and interesting when the Panthers take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. It'll be the middle game of a 3-game season series between the two teams this year. And then the Panthers will be back home coming up Tuesday at 7 against the Ottawa Senators. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Kind enough to stop by and help us preview tonight's matchup. Longtime Lightning radio voice Dave Mishkin, kind enough to be with us this morning. Dave, how are you? And I'm sure you're excited for this one, too. We've got two teams on win streaks coming into this evening's game in Tampa.
Good morning, Doug. Yeah, it's always fun when the Lightning and Panthers meet. And the last few years, of course, both teams have been playoff teams, and they've met in the playoffs a couple of years. So I think that's added to what had always been a pretty spirited rivalry, but I think it's been raised to a new level these last couple of years. So, yes, usually they are fun games, even if they aren't close. There's usually a lot of other stuff happening, and often they are close. Like the last time the teams met, it was a 3-2 Florida win here at Amalie.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to this one here tonight. And, Dave, I got to ask you first, Tampa Bay coming in winners of three straight. They have a win over Colorado under their belts a couple of nights ago in their most recent game for the Lightning. What's been the key for them as they've won 7 of their last 10 and 3 in a row coming in tonight?
Yeah, so I'll actually go back a little before that, Doug. So when the Panthers saw the Lightning right after Christmas, they beat the Lightning, and the Lightning then lost the next game also at home to the Rangers. And they were at a point, they were on very shaky ground. They've been on shaky ground for most of the year in terms of their standings position. And let's be honest. I mean, they were on the wrong side of the playoff cut line for much of the first half of the year. When they were managing to get above the playoff cut line, their points percentage was lower than a lot of the teams technically behind them in the standings, but those teams had lots of games in hand. So once we flipped the calendar, a couple of things happened. First of all, the Lightning started getting better defensively, which has been their Achilles heel all year. I think Andre Vasilevsky started looking more like the Vasilevsky that we have come to expect. He missed 6.5 months without any kind of activity at all, other than some light practices before they decided to have a surgery, and that was in training camp. And so, look, it took them a little while, I think, to kind of get back in sync. But that happened in January. And the Lightning had, speaking plainly, kind of an advantageous part of their schedule. Every team has points in the schedule when things are a little more difficult and other points when things are a little less difficult. And you have to be able to take advantage of those stretches. But the Lightning did that. So they had an 8-1 run heading into the bye week. And the bye week probably did not come at the best time for the Lightning because they were playing pretty well. And they came out of the bye with a couple of clunkers. They lost the game against the Rangers. I wouldn't call it probably a clunker. They didn't generate a lot offensively. They had the Sergachev injury, which I think shook them up a little bit. They actually defended okay. That was a 2-1 game late third before the Rangers scored an empty netter. And then they just had a game that was reminiscent of some of their early season game, so they didn't defend well at all against the Islanders. So they come out of the break with two regulation losses, and they're kind of slipping back to where they were before they went on their good run. But since then, they've strung together three straight wins. Like you mentioned, the most recent game was a home game against Colorado. They had wins in Columbus and in Boston as well. So they are not where they were coming out of the bye. I'm not sure they're quite where they were before the bye, though, either. And I think the break set them back a little bit, frankly, and we'll see if they're able to raise their level. I think they're going to have to play better tonight than they did even against Colorado, which was an impressive win for them against a quality opponent, but without blowing smoke too much in your direction. I mean, right now the Panthers are the class of the league, at least one of the top teams in the league based on how they are rolling, and I'm not sure the Avs came in with quite the same amount of swagger. They are on a long road trip. They just finished. They had lost a lot more than they had won. They're struggling with their depth behind their top guys. And the Lightning were able to expose that a little bit. I don't think the Lightning are going to get the same level of scoring chances or the same number of scoring chances if history holds. Based on what I'm seeing from the Panthers in terms of how they're defending, I would be surprised if the Lightning get as many scoring chances tonight as they did against Colorado. So what do you do with that if you're the Lightning? That means you have to D up at the level that the Panthers have D'd up. And if they're able to do that, I think we're going to have a pretty exciting competitive game tonight.
Yeah, but when we look at what's on the line here, the Panthers, of course, coming in 10 straight road wins, but the Lightning have an outstanding home record, so those two things are going to be colliding here this evening. Dave, Nikita Kucherov, you've seen him accomplish just about everything in the game, but what's been the biggest key to him being on this really potential Hart Trophy pace this season?
Yeah, it was an interesting matchup with MacKinnon and Kucherov in the same game the other night. MacKinnon had 2 points. Kucherov had 3. I frankly felt Kucherov had a more dynamic game than MacKinnon, which is not to say that MacKinnon won't end up winning the scoring race and potentially the Hart Trophy. But on that night, a couple of nights ago, I mean, Kucherov could have had 5, 6, 7 points. And, you know, he was denied by the goalie on some plays. Some passes that he made led to scoring chances that were stopped. He barely missed an empty net goal, hit off the side of the net. And we've seen a lot of games like that from him this year, Doug. So what is different? A player who is already probably one of the top, what do you want to say, 5 offensive players in the NHL coming into this year? You don't want to give him that? We'll say top 10?
I'd say top five.
Okay, well, if we're going to say he was there heading into this year, how has he been able to elevate his game? And I think that he just commands the ice in a way that the other team knows what he is capable of, and they have not been able to stop him. So he doesn't have blazing speed like MacKinnon or McDavid. He doesn't have some of the assets that – like he doesn't have Austin Matthews' physical prowess or his shot, although he has a very good shot. But I think what Kucherov does better than anybody else in the NHL, and I've heard some of these other top players – say as much, so don't take it from me, take it from Nathan MacKinnon. Kucherov thinks the game faster than all of these other players, so he often is 2 or 3 or 4 steps ahead and can anticipate not only where the puck is going but where he is going with the puck. And I think he has taken that to even a higher level this year in terms of his ability to make plays, see the ice. You know, MacKinnon and McDavid speed the game up. Kucherov slows the game down. He's got a little bit of Kovalev in him, which I hesitate to make that comparison, Doug, because I think Kovalev had a rap of being invisible on too many games throughout his career. Like, people look at his career and said he could have had more points than what he had. But when he was going, he was very, very difficult to defend because he was so slippery. I think Kucherov has that element to his game as well. And then the other big difference between this year and previous years, he's shooting the puck more. He's going to easily set his personal best for shots in a season. And for much of the year, he's been ranked among the league leaders in shots. So for a guy who can pass and turn the other team into a pretzel, when he starts shooting the puck more, it creates additional problems. And he's got a good shot. So, I mean, he's at, what, 35, 36 goals this year. That's not a fluke. Like, he is able to beat goalies with his shot. So he has been tremendous. And he really hasn't had any kind of dip in his game. He has more 3-point games than games with no points this year. So that speaks not only to his level of consistency, but also the fact that he's gotten a lot of points in games, right? Like, if he's getting points, he's usually getting 2, 3. He's had a 6-point game this year. So it's all come together for him. And the Lightning needed him to be that player because, as I mentioned, you know, they have not been at the level defensively for much of the year that they probably have needed to be at, although that is trending in the right direction right now.
Big part of the matchup tonight. Lots of speed, lots of skill on display. No doubt he'll be right front and center in it, and a big part of what the Panthers will have to key on this evening. Dave Mishkin, kind enough to stop by right up against the end of the show, but Dave, we'll see you in a little bit here, and thanks as always for your time here on Panthers Insider.
Anytime, Doug. See you soon. Thanks.
Dave Mishkin, everybody. Big thanks to him for stopping by. Big thanks to all of you for tuning in. Panthers Lightning at 5, 4:30 Panthers preview. Again, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey. As always, on a Saturday morning, Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning today, 5 o'clock, we're dropping the puck at Amalie Arena in Tampa. 4:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. Both teams coming in on win streaks to this evening's contest. So a lot on the line, always a lot on the line, and always fun and interesting when the Panthers take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. It'll be the middle game of a three-game season series between the two teams this year. And then the Panthers will be back home coming up Tuesday at 7 against the Ottawa Senators. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Kind enough to stop by and help us preview tonight's matchup. Longtime Lightning radio voice Dave Mishkin, kind enough to be with us this morning. Dave, how are you? And I'm sure you're excited for this one, too. We've got two teams on win streaks coming into this evening's game in Tampa.
Good morning, Doug. Yeah, it's always fun when the Lightning and Panthers meet. And the last few years, of course, both teams have been playoff teams, and they've met in the playoffs a couple of years. So I think that's added to what had always been a pretty spirited rivalry, but I think it's been raised to a new level these last couple of years. So, yes, usually they are fun games, even if they aren't close. There's usually a lot of other stuff happening, and often they are close. Like the last time the teams met, it was a 3-2 Florida win here at Amalie.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to this one here tonight. And, Dave, I got to ask you first, Tampa Bay coming in winners of three straight. They have a win over Colorado under their belts a couple of nights ago in their most recent game for the Lightning. What's been the key for them as they've won 7 of their last 10 and 3 in a row coming in tonight?
Yeah, so I'll actually go back a little before that, Doug. So when the Panthers saw the Lightning right after Christmas, they beat the Lightning, and the Lightning then lost the next game also at home to the Rangers. And they were at a point, they were on very shaky ground. They've been on shaky ground for most of the year in terms of their standings position. Let's be honest. I mean, they were on the wrong side of the playoff cut line for much of the first half of the year. When they were managing to get above the playoff cut line, their points percentage was lower than a lot of the teams technically behind them in the standings, but those teams had lots of games in hand. So once we flipped the calendar, a couple of things happened. First of all, the Lightning started getting better defensively, which has been their Achilles heel all year. I think Andrei Vasilevskiy started looking more like the Vasilevskiy that we have come to expect. He missed 6.5 months without any kind of activity at all, other than some light practices before they decided to have a surgery, and that was in training camp. And so, look, it took them a little while, I think, to kind of get back in sync. But that happened in January. And the Lightning had, speaking plainly, kind of an advantageous part of their schedule. Every team has points in the schedule when things are a little more difficult and other points when things are a little less difficult. And you have to be able to take advantage of those stretches. But the Lightning did that. So they had an 8-1 run heading into the bye week. And the bye week probably did not come at the best time for the Lightning because they were playing pretty well. And they came out of the bye with a couple of clunkers. They lost the game against the Rangers. I wouldn't call it probably a clunker. They didn't generate a lot offensively. They had the Sergachev injury, which I think shook them up a little bit. They actually defended okay. That was a 2-1 game late third before the Rangers scored an empty netter. And then they just had a game that was reminiscent of some of their early season games, so they didn't defend well at all against the Islanders. So they come out of the break with two regulation losses, and they're kind of slipping back to where they were before they went on their good run. But since then, they've strung together three straight wins. Like you mentioned, the most recent game was a home game against Colorado. They had wins in Columbus and in Boston as well. So they are not where they were coming out of the bye. I'm not sure they're quite where they were before the bye, though, either. I think the break set them back a little bit, frankly, and we'll see if they're able to raise their level. I think they're going to have to play better tonight than they did even against Colorado, which was an impressive win for them against a quality opponent, but without blowing smoke too much in your direction. I mean, right now the Panthers are the class of the league, at least one of the top teams in the league based on how they are rolling, and I'm not sure the Avs came in with quite the same amount of swagger. They are on a long road trip. They just finished. They had lost a lot more than they had won. They're struggling with their depth behind their top guys. And the Lightning were able to expose that a little bit. I don't think the Lightning are going to get the same level of scoring chances or the same number of scoring chances if history holds, based on what I'm seeing from the Panthers in terms of how they're defending. I would be surprised if the Lightning get as many scoring chances tonight as they did against Colorado. So what do you do with that if you're the Lightning? That means you have to D up at the level that the Panthers have D'd up. And if they're able to do that, I think we're going to have a pretty exciting competitive game tonight.
Yeah, but when we look at what's on the line here, the Panthers, of course, coming in 10 straight road wins, but the Lightning have an outstanding home record, so those two things are going to be colliding here this evening. Dave, Nikita Kucherov, you've seen him accomplish just about everything in the game, but what's been the biggest key to him being on this really potential Hart Trophy pace this season?
Yeah, it was an interesting matchup with MacKinnon and Kucherov in the same game the other night. MacKinnon had 2 points. Kucherov had 3. I frankly felt Kucherov had a more dynamic game than MacKinnon, which is not to say that MacKinnon won't end up winning the scoring race and potentially the Hart Trophy. But on that night, a couple of nights ago, I mean, Kucherov could have had 5, 6, 7 points. And, you know, he was denied by the goalie on some plays, some passes that he made led to scoring chances that were stopped. He barely missed an empty net goal, hit off the side of the net. And we've seen a lot of games like that from him this year, Doug. So what is different? A player who is already probably one of the top, what do you want to say, 5 offensive players in the NHL coming into this year? You don't want to give him that? We'll say top 10?
I'd say top five.
Okay, well, if we're going to say he was there heading into this year, how has he been able to elevate his game? And I think that he just commands the ice in a way that the other team knows what he is capable of, and they have not been able to stop him. So he doesn't have blazing speed like MacKinnon or McDavid. He doesn't have some of the assets that – like he doesn't have Austin Matthews' physical prowess or his shot, although he has a very good shot. But I think what Kucherov does better than anybody else in the NHL, and I've heard some of these other top players – say as much, so don't take it from me, take it from Nathan MacKinnon. Kucherov thinks the game faster than all of these other players. So he often is 2 or 3 or 4 steps ahead and can anticipate not only where the puck is going, but where he is going with the puck. And I think he has taken that to even a higher level this year in terms of his ability to make plays, see the ice. You know, MacKinnon and McDavid speed the game up. Kucherov slows the game down. He's got a little bit of Kovalev in him, which I hesitate to make that comparison, Doug, because I think Kovalev had a rap of being invisible on too many games throughout his career. Like, people look at his career and said he could have had more points than what he had. But when he was going, he was very, very difficult to defend because he was so slippery. I think Kucherov has that element to his game as well. And then the other big difference between this year and previous years, he's shooting the puck more. He's going to easily set his personal best for shots in a season. And for much of the year, he's been ranked among the league leaders in shots. So for a guy who can pass and turn the other team into a pretzel, when he starts shooting the puck more, it creates additional problems. And he's got a good shot. So, I mean, he's at, what, 35, 36 goals this year. That's not a fluke. Like, he is able to beat goalies with his shot. So he has been tremendous. And he really hasn't had any kind of dip in his game. He has more 3-point games than games with no points this year. So that speaks not only to his level of consistency, but also the fact that he's gotten a lot of points in games, right? Like, if he's getting points, he's usually getting 2, 3. He's had a 6-point game this year. So it's all come together for him. And the Lightning needed him to be that player because, as I mentioned, you know, they have not been at the level defensively for much of the year that they probably have needed to be at, although that is trending in the right direction right now.
Big part of the matchup tonight. Lots of speed, lots of skill on display. No doubt he'll be right front and center. in it, and a big part of what the Panthers will have to key on this evening. Dave Mishkin, kind enough to stop by right up against the end of the show, but Dave, we'll see you in a little bit here, and thanks as always for your time here on Panthers Insider.
Anytime, Doug. See you soon. Thanks.
Dave Mishkin, everybody. Big thanks to him for stopping by. Big thanks to all of you for tuning in. Panthers Lightning at 5, 4:30 Panthers preview. Again, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.